All right, so you send over a stack of info on injection molding, draft angles specifically. I admit it doesn't sound like the most thrilling topic, but clearly this is important for your project. So let's dive in and see what we can uncover.
Absolutely.
You've got some excerpts from a technical article you sent over and some fact checks you wanted to be sure about. So our mission today is figuring out how to choose the right draft angle for your specific product. But before we get into all that, let's define draft angle.
Yeah, good idea.
What is that? It's basically that slight slope built into a mold so that the part pops out easily, no damage, no drama.
Exactly. A tiny detail, huge implications. Getting it right is can make or break your whole process.
Yeah, for sure. The source material mentions polypropylene and its shrinkage a lot. I've seen a little obsessed with it. Why is PP shrinkage such a big deal, and how does it relate to draft angles?
So polypropylene is interesting because it shrinks quite a bit as it cools. We're talking 1 to 2.5% shrinkage compared to, say, polystyrene, which is more like 0.4 to 0.7%. Now, that might not sound like much, but imagine your part's supposed to be 100 millimeters long. With polypropylene, it could shrink by a whole millimeter or two.
That puts it in perspective. A couple of millimeters could really throw things off if you needed to be precise.
Precisely. The higher the shrinkage, the more the part tries to like cling to the mold as it cools. And that's where that draft angle comes in. It's like greasing a cake pan. That little slope helps it release cleanly.
That makes sense. That's a good analogy. But the source also mentions elasticity. I'm guessing that comes into play if you're designing something flexible.
You got it. A soft, stretchy plastic will behave very differently from a rigid one. Think about pulling a gummy bear out of a mold versus like a hard candy. That gummy bear is going to deform if that draft angle isn't large enough.
So no one size fits all draft angle. You really have to tailor it to each project.
Absolutely. And it's not just about the material itself. The source also talks about how the shape of your part plays a role.
Yeah, they talk about how simple shapes like a cylinder are pretty straightforward. But what happens when you've got like a part with lots of curves or undercuts or even holes? How does all that complexity factor into the draft angle?
Think about surface area. A simple shape has minimal contact with the mold, so there's less friction when you eject it. But a complex part with all those nooks and crannies has way more surface area touching the mold. More contact equals more friction, so you need a larger draft angle to compensate. It's like trying to get a really detailed Lego piece out of a mold. All those little studs can really make it stick.
I can picture that. That's a good visual. And then the source throws in another curveball. Apparently, the height of your part can impact the draft angle, too.
It can.
That seems kind of counterintuitive. Why would height matter?
It's all about friction again. A taller part simply has more surface area rubbing against the mold as it's pulled out. Imagine pulling a short sock off your foot versus a knee-high one. The longer sock creates more friction.
So every millimeter counts in injection molding.
Every millimeter. And there's another factor that might seem minor, but it's actually crucial, the structure of the mold itself.
Yeah, the source mentions mold structure, but it seemed kind of vague. Can you break that down a bit more?
Imagine you're baking multiple cakes in one pan. You need enough space between them, right? Same principle applies to injection molds, especially what are called multi-cavity molds, where you're making multiple parts at once. The layout of those cavities and the space between them can actually influence the draft angle.
So it's not just about the individual part, it's about how it fits in the overall mold structure.
And then you have even more specialized molds, like hot runner molds. These are designed for complex parts, and they have these intricate channels for injecting the molten plastic. So with hot runner molds, the way the plastic flows into each cavity becomes even more critical and can affect the draft angle you need.
Wow, so many factors to consider. It's fascinating. And then there's another detail. The source kept coming back to the texture of the mold surface. Smooth versus rough surfaces. Why is that so important?
It might seem minor, but microscopic roughness on the mold surface can actually increase friction significantly. It's like the difference between pulling a smooth sheet of glass across a surface versus a piece of sandpaper. That rough texture creates a lot more resistance.
So a rougher mold surface means you need a larger draft angle to overcome that extra friction.
And here's where it gets interesting. If you can create a super smooth mold surface, you can actually get away with a smaller draft angle, which can lead to a better finish on your final product.
Wait, so smoother mold, smaller draft angle. How does that work?
Well, with a rough surface, All those microscopic bumps and grooves create these tiny points of contact where the part can stick to the mold.
Mm-hmm.
But with a smooth surface, there are far fewer points of contact, so less friction, and the part releases more easily.
That makes a lot of sense. So we're talking about a microscopic level of smoothness here.
We are.
How do you even achieve that kind of precision in a mold?
That's where the art of mold polishing comes in. There are specialized techniques that can create incredibly smooth surfaces, almost like a mirror.
Mold polishing techniques. That sounds like a whole other deep dive.
It is a fascinating topic.
Maybe we can explore that another time.
Absolutely.
But for now, I think we've laid a good foundation for understanding how draft angles are influenced by mold structure and surface texture.
I think so too.
We've covered a lot of ground already. Material shape, height, mold structure, even surface texture.
A lot to think about.
It's amazing how all these things come together to determine that seemingly simple angle.
Yeah, it really is.
But before we move on, could you elaborate on how these super smooth molds and smaller draft angles actually lead to a better finish on the final product?
Think of it like peeling a sticker off a smooth surface. It comes off clean, right? But if that surface is rough, bits of the sticker might get left behind.
Okay, I see the analogy. So with a smooth mold, the plastic can flow more evenly and doesn't get caught on any imperfections. So you get a cleaner, more polished final product.
Exactly. Sharper details, crisper edges, just a generally more refined look.
This has been super insightful. It's really amazing how a seemingly minor detail, like a draft angle, can impact so many aspects of the manufacturing process.
It really can.
But let's bring it back to our listeners' project. Say they're working on a new design. What are some practical steps they can take to figure out the right draft angle?
First things first, they need to understand the material they're using.
Okay.
Things like the shrinkage rate and the modulus of elasticity are key pieces of information.
Right.
They can usually find that data on the material data sheet.
Makes sense. And then they need to factor in the shape of their product.
Absolutely. Pay close attention to any undercuts, internal cavities, intricate details that might increase friction during ejection.
Mm-hmm.
Those features are going to need a more generous draft angle compared to the simpler areas of the part.
Right. And we can't forget about the height of the part. We learned that even a small difference in height can change the draft angle you need.
Right. And if they're using a multi-cavity mold, they need to consider the arrangement of the cavities and how the parts will be ejected.
Mm-hmm.
The mold structure itself can play a pretty big role in determining the optimal draft angle.
It sounds like choosing the right draft angle is kind of like detective work.
It is.
You have to piece together all these different clues to arrive at the best solution.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to experiment.
Right.
Start with a conservative draft angle, test it out, and then make adjustments based on the results.
So observation and iteration are key.
Yeah.
It's not just a plug and chug formula.
Exactly. Injection molding is as much an art as it is a science. You need a good understanding of the principles, but there's also an element of intuition and experience involved.
I'm curious from your experience, what are some of the biggest challenges designers face when it comes to draft angles?
One common mistake is just underestimating the importance of draft angles. Designers can get so focused on the aesthetics and functionality of the part that they neglect this critical detail.
And what are the consequences of not getting the draft angle right?
The consequences can be pretty significant. You can end up with parts that get stuck in the mold.
Oh, no.
Requiring costly and time-consuming rework. Or you might end up with warped or distorted parts that just don't meet your quality standards.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario, you could even damage the mold itself.
So we're talking potential delays, wasted material, increased costs, not to mention the frustration of seeing your design vision fall short.
Exactly. But by understanding those factors that influence draft angles and taking the time to choose the right angle, you can avoid those pitfalls and really streamline your production process.
It's like laying a solid foundation for a successful product launch. A well-chosen draft angle is kind of like the unsung hero of a smooth manufacturing process.
I like that.
But let's be honest, not everyone's going to become a draft angle expert overnight. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting to learn about this whole aspect of injection molding?
Don't be afraid to ask for help. There are tons of resources available from industry associations like the Society of Plastics Engineers to online forums and communities where you can connect with experienced mold designers and engineers.
Yeah, those communities can be gold mines of information. Getting real-world insights and troubleshooting advice from people who've been there and done that could be so valuable.
Absolutely. And don't underestimate the power of observation. Pay attention to the products around you.
Okay.
Notice the subtle draft angles on everything, from your phone case to your car's dashboard. Start thinking about why those angles were chosen and how they contribute to the overall design and functionality of the product.
That's a great point. Developing that keen eye for those details can really help accelerate your understanding of injection molding. Now, I know our listener has provided some specific materials they want us to deep dive into.
Okay.
But before we get to those, let's take a step back and consider a hypothetical scenario. Let's say our listener's designing a new phone case. What are some of the key draft angle considerations they should be thinking about?
That's a great example. First, they need to decide on the material. A flexible soft touch case is going to behave very differently from a rigid hard shell case. Remember our gummy bear analogy.
Right. Flexible materials need more draft to prevent distortion.
Exactly. And then they need to consider the shape of the case. Phone cases often have those intricate cutouts for cameras and buttons and ports.
Right.
Those details require a larger draft angle than the simpler, flatter areas of the case.
And we can't forget about things like texture or surface patterns.
You got it.
A textured surface increases friction, which means you might need to adjust the draft angle to compensate.
You're absolutely right. It's like a puzzle where all these different factors interlock to determine the optimal draft angle.
And remember, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. You have to consider those specific requirements of your design and be willing to experiment and make adjustments along the way. Speaking of experimentation, I'm curious, are there any emerging trends or technologies in injection molding that could change how we think about draft angles in the future?
That's a great question. One area that's really exciting is 3D printed molds. These molds can have incredibly complex geometries and super smooth surfaces.
Wow.
Which could allow for even smaller draft angles and more intricate designs.
So we might be moving towards a world where draft angles become even less of a constraint on design freedom.
It's certainly a possibility. As technology continues to advance, we'll likely see even more innovative approaches to injection molding that could fundamentally change the way we approach draft angles.
Okay. This is fascinating stuff, but let's get back to our listeners' specific questions.
Okay, sounds good.
They've highlighted some specific points in the source material that they'd like us to unpack.
Happy to dive into those specifics and see if we can shed some light on their questions. What's the first point they highlighted?
The first one is about the relationship between wall thickness and draft angle. They're wondering if there's a rule of thumb for how those two factors relate to each other.
That's a great question, and it's a common one. There isn't a hard and fast rule that directly links wall thickness to draft angle. It's a little more nuanced than that.
So there's no magic formula. Like, if your wall is this thick, then your draft angle needs to be this much.
Not exactly. While thicker walls can generally handle slightly smaller draft angles, it's not a one-to-one correlation.
Okay.
It's more about understanding how the material behaves during cooling and ejection.
Could you elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. Imagine you have two parts with the same draft angle, but different wall thicknesses.
Okay.
The part with the thicker wall has more material to cool and solidify.
All right.
Which means it might shrink more and exert a stronger force on the mold, even with what seems like an adequate draft angle.
So a thicker wall might actually need a larger draft angle in some cases.
Exactly. It all comes back to balancing those forces, shrinkage, friction, and the geometry of the part. You really need to consider the whole picture.
It seems like draft angles are more about understanding the interplay of these different factors rather than just following rigid rules.
You got.
What other questions did our listener have?
They also highlighted a section about the impact of mold temperature on draft angles.
Okay.
And it's an excellent point to bring up because mold temperature plays a crucial role in the cooling process, which, as we've discussed, directly affects shrinkage and ejection.
So how does mold temperature factor into all this?
Well, a hotter mold allows the plastic to cool more slowly,
okay,
which can reduce shrinkage and potentially allow for slightly smaller draft angles.
So a hotter mold, less shrinkage, and therefore less need for a steep draft angle.
In theory, yes, but it's not always that straightforward.
Okay.
A hotter mold can also lead to longer cycle times, meaning it takes longer to produce each part,
right,
which can then impact your overall production efficiency and cost.
So it's a trade-off. Potentially needing a smaller draft angle, but potentially increasing production time?
Exactly. It's about finding that sweet spot that balances part quality, production speed, and cost effectiveness.
It's getting really nuanced. It seems like there's always another layer to consider when it comes to draft angles.
There is.
Anything else our listener wanted to discuss?
One more question, and it's an important one. It's about this concept of zero draft.
Zero draft.
They're wondering if it's ever possible to design a part with absolutely no draft angle.
From everything we've talked about, it seems almost impossible to get a part out of a mold without at least a tiny bit of draft. Is zero draft just a myth?
It's not exactly a myth, but it's definitely a challenge. Achieving zero draft requires some pretty specialized techniques and careful consideration of all the factors we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you might need a very precise mold with incredibly smooth surfaces and a material that exhibits minimal shrinkage.
So it's not impossible, but it's not for beginners.
Exactly.
Right.
There are also techniques like using flexible mold inserts or collapsible cores that can help achieve near zero draft.
Okay.
But those methods often add complexity and cost to the manufacturing process.
It's amazing how much innovation goes into something as seemingly simple as getting a part out of a mold.
It really is, and it highlights how important collaboration is between designers and engineers. Designers need to understand the limitations and possibilities of manufacturing processes.
Yeah.
And engineers need to be able to translate that design intent into manufacturable reality.
That's a great point. Effective communication and a shared understanding of these concepts are so crucial for successful product development.
Couldn't agree more. When designers and engineers work together, well, they can create some truly amazing products that push the boundaries of what's possible.
Well, I think we've covered a ton of ground today. We went from the basics of draft angles to the complexities of mold, temperature, wall thickness, and even zero draft. It's been quite a journey.
I agree. And hopefully we've given our listener a much deeper understanding of this often overlooked but critical aspect of injection molding.
For sure. And remember, there's always more to learn. Don't be afraid to experiment, consult with experts, and just keep exploring this world of injection molding.
Well said. Continuous learning and a passion for innovation are really the keys to success in any field, especially one as dynamic and ever-evolving as manufacturing.
And to our listener, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into draft angles. We hope this has been helpful and insightful. And if you have any more questions, feel free to reach out or explore some of those resources mentioned in the show notes. Until next time, happy molding.